I'm reading today from 2 Timothy. This is a contemporary English version. Timothy, my child, Christ Jesus is kind, and you must let him make you strong. You have often heard me teach. Now I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must endure your share of suffering. Soldiers on duty don't work at outside jobs. They try only to please their commanding officer. No one wins an athletic contest without obeying the rules. And farmers who work hard are the first to eat what grows in their field. If you keep in mind what I have told you, the Lord will help you understand completely. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. He was from the family of David and was raised from death, just as my good news says. And because of this message, I am locked up in jail and treated like a criminal. But God's good news isn't locked up in jail, and so I am willing to put up with anything. Then God's special people will be saved. They will be given eternal glory because they belong to Christ Jesus. Here is a true message. If we died with Christ, we will live with him. If we don't give up, we will rule with him. If we deny that we know him, he will deny that he knows us. If we are not faithful, he will still be faithful. Christ cannot deny who he is.
Well, I want to talk to you about the hardest thing you've ever done. What is the hardest thing you've ever done? And depending on who you are, maybe you might think of maybe an outdoor adventure. That's the hardest thing you've ever done. You know, once upon a time, I hiked 8 days through the Tasmanian wilderness when I was much younger. But the hard thing for you might not be, you know, the sporty thing, you know, the recreational contrived hardness. For you, it might be the stuff of real life. The hardest thing was moving to a new city or me moving to a completely new country. I know some of you have done that. How hard? Maybe the hard thing for you was going through treatment for cancer. Maybe the hard thing for you was ending a relationship, or was hard going through divorce. I can't imagine how hard that is. Maybe the hard thing for you was organizing your parents' funeral or speaking at your parents' funeral. Maybe the hardest thing for you is simply raising kids. I mean, if you're a parent, raising kids is good, right? But it's pretty hard, isn't it? Now, all of those things are really hard, but I put it to you, a really hard thing, one of the hardest things, in fact, is to live as a Christian. I mean, a real, faithful, obedient, serving, persevering Christian. It's hard. And it's hard because you have to endure as a follower of Christ through all those things that I've just even mentioned that are already hard. But with being a Christian, you have to endure and you have to be willing to suffer. Now, in saying being a Christian is hard, I have to explain this well because I could lead you into a misunderstanding. I'll be working hard to make things clear and not misrepresent Christianity. But right from the get-go this morning, one of my agendas is to speak to the non-believer amongst us. And I've said this before, but I don't want to be a rip-off merchant. I don't want to falsely advertise what you'll get if you become a follower of Christ. You know, the old bait and switch, promise one thing, deliver on another. No, you're much better off counting the cost. I don't want to say, become a Christian, it is awesome. Actually, read the fine print, it's really hard. No, let's face up to the truth from the start. So we are looking at one of Paul's trustworthy statements, but today is about living as a Christian in the midst of hardship. We need to endure. But we're talking about how it's so worth it. How it's so worth it. So there's a bunch of things in this passage that's about Christians and suffering. This passage gives us promises and warnings and illustrations. But chapter 2, verse 1, at the very start there, we're given a command. And it's a command that's also a word of comfort. It's a command and it's a word of comfort for you and I as we face struggle in life. It says, be strengthened in grace. Be strengthened in grace. This is verse 1. I'm going to read from both translations. They're on the screen as well. Firstly, from the CEV, and it says there, Timothy, my child, Christ Jesus is kind, and you must let him make you strong. Or then the NIV says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this word about being strong is for us who feel weak, who feel fragile, who sometimes wonder, am I valuable? I think we all face that, don't we? We face struggle and hardship and criticism and rejection and pain and a sense of failure. We feel all alone. It makes us wonder our worth, our value, our purpose. And so verse 1 is saying, you and I, we need to know grace. Now, CEV is Christ Jesus is kind. The NIV, I think, puts it a little bit more clearly, a bit more directly, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, grace is how you get to be a Christian, isn't it? Grace is undeserved gift. Grace, undeserved kindness, is how you get to be saved, how you find everlasting relationship with God. Grace is how you find forgiveness with God. Now, just so we're clear, early on in the letter, the Apostle Paul said, he has saved us, that's Jesus saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Now, being found in God is a gift. So today we're talking about enduring as a Christian, but there's a difference between enduring and earning. You don't earn to be in relationship with God. You cannot earn it, but you've got to endure as a Christian. And we're being told, be strong in this grace. And in fact, the CEV, the primary school teacher version, actually is a little bit better on this verse. See, in the original language Greek, it's not where so much the active one, we have to be strong, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. No, the original language with its grammar and how the words work, it actually tells us it's Jesus who's the active one. Let his grace make you strong. It's not so much what we have to do, but what God does for us. See, maybe you're a parent, and for you, parenting is hard. Maybe you feel like, you know, a bit of a parenting failure. I think all of us feel like that sometimes. Well, this message of verse 1 isn't buck up, be strong, toughen up, princess. No. Yeah, in his grace, let him make you strong. In other words, remember you're a child of God. Remember God loves you. Remember, you know, you're really struggling right now. Well, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Let his grace make you strong. Or maybe you're someone who faces depression. Now, that's hard, isn't it? But this verse isn't, get your act together, man. Pull it together. Be strong. No, we're weak. We're fragile. We suffer. So remember, Christ Jesus loves you. As you remember, you're saved by grace. Remember, you live in that grace. Your own thoughts attack you, but God is for you. Let Jesus, in his grace, make you strong. Today we're talking about suffering, enduring, and these 13 verses are there to steel us for hardship and suffering, persecution. The Christian life is not for the faint-hearted, but please don't hear this hard life is for the tough ones, the ones who can grit their teeth, be strong. No, everyone in this room is weak. We need help. We are not that impressive. Don't we sort of struggle and mumble along in life, don't we? We face criticism and loneliness and a sense of failure. We need to know that what God has done for his precious people in Jesus, he died for us. We stand in his love. We stand in his kindness. We stand in his grace. As we face tough things and we realize how weak we are, let's go to Jesus, and he is the one to make us strong. And then from verse 1, Paul just keeps unpacking this living and enduring as a Christian in the midst of hard things. And my church, we're called to share in suffering, to share in it, and to join in others in it. Skip over to verse 3. It says there, I'll just read from the NIV here. It says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul's saying, join with me. In other words, share in suffering with me. And just so you know, this is a pretty big deal for Paul. He's already said this in this letter to Timothy. He said this, and it's on the screen. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So he keeps repeating it. Join with me in suffering. Share in suffering. Now, Paul's in prison. Because he's a Christian. I mean, Paul, because he's a follower of Christ, is considered offensive, foolish, dangerous. So he's in jail. And in this letter, Paul's actually a bit of a name dropper when it comes to those who haven't joined with him in suffering and been ashamed of him. Paul's not backward in mentioning the names who've not joined with him in suffering. He mentions people like Phygelus and Hermogenes and Demas. So Paul's saying to Timothy, don't be like them. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of me. No, join me. Share in the suffering with me. So let's put it to ourselves. How do we feel about the idea of sharing in the suffering of fellow Christians? I mean, I think it's hard to get our heads around this. Really, we live so safely as Christians, don't we? But that's not everyone. You know, one example, you know, Christians and Christian leaders in China right now are being locked up in jail because they insist that Jesus is Lord. He's above the government. Loyalty to him is greater than loyalty to the party. So like Paul, Christians are in jail. What do we think of that? You know, we love all the cheap stuff we get from China, but do we have the sense that we stand with those in China who suffer? Because they belong to Christ. And suffering for being a Christian comes in many forms. I was listening to a podcast of a guy who's same-sex attracted, used to be a gay activist. He's become a Christian, and he's written a book saying God's love for him and his love for God compels him to live out his life in obedience and faith. And with his sexuality, it means living the celibate, single Christian life. He's seeking to live life to the full in Christ. He has certain desires, but his greatest desire is for Jesus. Now, he's written this book. Imagine the response he has received from writing this book. He has been slammed. He says it's been really hard, but he knows what the Bible says, and he's standing up. If the opportunity comes, would we stand with him? Sharing in suffering with him. Let's not overstate it. We're not martyrs for Jesus. This is Australia. It's not China. But in other ways, the honeymoon is over, people. Cultural Christianity. It's no longer the majority. It's not the cultural force behind institutions and the media. Biblical Christianity really is mostly bagged out within the media. Real biblical Christianity will not suit the left, the right, the progressives, the traditionalists. But will we share in suffering with others? I think we like generally the idea of sharing, don't we? you know, the haves and the have-nots. We should be equitable. We should share. And if you're into social media, we love sharing there, don't we? Look at what I had for breakfast. Look what my kids have done. We're into sharing. But what about sharing in suffering? It's not easy to do, is it? Who wants to be uncomfortable? Who wants to be criticized? But we're called to share in the suffering of others. And so Paul in this passage keeps going, hardship, enduring. In fact, he goes on to say enduring in the midst of hardship is absolutely worth it. In fact, all the time we're willing to endure things through life, aren't we? Because of the goal that we look forward to. And what Paul does in verses 3-7 is he uses a bunch of illustrations from really everyday life. He's basically saying, enduring is worth it when you know there's a reward at the end. It's how we do life. Uses some illustrations from everyday life. Let's read these verses again, the NIV. He says there, verse 3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Now, Paul is comparing the Christian life to being a soldier who serves to please his commanding officer, or a Christian is like an athlete who competes for the prize, or a Christian is like a farmer who works hard for his share of the crops. You know, I really like watching the tennis right now from my air-conditioned living room. I really enjoy watching all of them sweat it out while I have my cool drink. You know, Osaka, who won the game last night, how many hours would have she put into training for that moment? All those times of hit, how many balls would have she hit in her life so far? Practicing her shots in the gym, running around the court, all those matches, sweating and training. But last night she got the prize. Working hard, no pain, no gain. We know that phrase, don't we? Soldier, athlete, farmer. I mean, imagine farmers right now, this past week, working in their fields. I looked it up in Cloncurry, that's that town in northwest Queensland. They've now had 40 days in a row of over 40 degrees during the day. And I looked it up in Gumtree, they're looking for farm workers right now in Cloncurry. Anyone want to go there? We're not going to go there, are we? It's too hot, it's too hard. But the station owners, they're working. They have to work. They've got a goal. So much in life, isn't it, about enduring for the sake of the goal that is to come. And the Christian life is hard, so you have to look ahead to see that it's worth it. It's interesting, the Christian life is about looking back. You've got to remember what Christ Jesus did on the cross for us. In fact, verse 8 says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, look back. But here's the thing, church, don't just look back. You've got to look forward too. You've got to look forward. It's going to be worth it. The athlete gets the crown. But for us, the crown is everlasting joy. It's everlasting peace. In fact, in another part of this same letter, Paul writes, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who've longed for his appearing. The crown of righteousness. Well, you'll enjoy right standing, right relationship with God, when you'll enjoy being with Jesus, the righteous judge, who'll set things right for you, despite all your pain and your hardship and your suffering now. Is living the Christian life easy? No. Will you be tempted to check it all in? Yes. Have you met people who say, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not into that so much now? You probably have. I have. And usually it's not because they've sort of thought it through in some reason way and they've decided that Jesus isn't the person he said he was. It's more like they just feel it's not worth it anymore. There's a more enjoyable life to be lived when you're not a full-on Christian. Oh, you have to keep focused on the gospel, don't you? You have to realize that this life is so short. And this, in this short life, there is loneliness, there is cancer, there is divorce, there is depression, there is death, there is criticism, there is unemployment. There are Christians who let you down. There is persecution as well. But as you face those things, look forward. Look ahead. See, we have this very, 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 very short life, don't we? And then there's an everlasting prize and crown. No pain, no gain, no cross, no crown. What is ahead of us makes all the suffering and the hardship absolutely worth it. The Christian life is one of enduring until we receive the goodness and the glory of being with Jesus. This is a word from God to us that suffering is to be endured in the Christian life. Don't let anyone ever tell you that to be a Christian is a recipe for prosperity. You're just going to receive, you know, material blessing after blessing after blessing. And if you're not enjoying good things, you just don't have enough faith. There's been some truly bad Christian books written to say that to be a Christian is to enjoy health and wealth and wonderful things. The two crappy classics on this are The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson and Your Best Life Now by Joel Osteen. Truly terrible. If you happen to have them on your bookshelf, do not give them to Lifeline. Unfortunately, someone might actually read it then. If you need to clean your barbecue, well, you've got some paper. If you're camping and you run out of toilet paper, you know what to do. This is God's word to us, that suffering, hardship, persecution is part of the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul has a couple more things to say. He also says we suffer for the benefit of others. We're to suffer so the elect would be saved. And we see this from verse 9. Have a look there, verse 9. I'll just read from the end of verse 8 where it says there, this is my gospel for which I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Remember, Paul's writing from prison. He's chained, but he's allowed to write, apparently, as he's chained. I mean, this is real suffering. But he's not just willing to go through the suffering for himself, future glory to come that he will enjoy. No, he's going through the suffering for others so that others may enjoy this future glory as well. Paul has such a love for others, doesn't he? He's telling people about Jesus, willing to suffer so others would be saved. Now, oh, that we would have this sort of love for others. I mean, it's confronting stuff, isn't it? And Paul uses the word elect. Sometimes that's a controversial word. Some people, that God chooses those who are his. But Paul's not sitting on his hands. Oh, God is sovereign. God has his plans. God will do the choosing. I'll just sit back. No, God is. Paul is working hard, proclaiming the gospel, suffering for the gospel, that God would use him for God's own glorious purposes so others might be saved. So there's an obvious question for us in this, isn't there? Are we willing to suffer so the elect would be saved? There's nothing on the cultural horizon at the moment so extreme that any of us are going to go to jail for the gospel. I mean, that's long away, if ever. so extreme, you know, that we'd go to jail. But so I'll put in less suffering terms, just easy stuff compared to prison. Like, are you willing to spend time on a Saturday night working up a lesson for Christ Central Kids so the kids here might hear about Jesus and be saved? Now, we do need more kids leaders. We really do. Or are you willing to take time out of your Friday night to spend time with youth here to teach them the word, to proclaim the gospel so that youth might be saved? And we do need more youth leaders as well. Are we willing to speak of our Christian faith in the workplace, on social media, with your family, so that others would be saved? It's sort of hard to talk about this, isn't it? Because we live such comfortable lives compared to Paul. I mean, I was mindful of this as I was preparing this talk, you know, reading about Paul bound in chains, and I'm preparing this talk in my air-conditioned study, and I'm having a snow cone. I actually was having a snow cone as I'm talking about suffering. It's ridiculous, isn't it? So what can we do, you know, with our lives and our situation? You know, but the gospel is real. Eternal glory is real. So let's give our time, our talents, our treasure to gospel ministry so that more people, the elect, will enjoy what we have ourselves, that crown of righteousness, being with Jesus forever. In this passage we're looking at, we finally actually get to the trustworthy saying. We finally get to it. It starts verse 11. It's a saying that really just backs up everything else we've seen so far. Let's have a read. Verse 13. Verse 11, here's a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we disown him, he'll also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, notice how it's sort of indented in our Bibles, has a certain rhythm to it, a certain pattern. Perhaps this was an early Christian song. Maybe it was a well-known saying, a creed. It's sort of like Paul is quoting something. In the first half of this trustworthy saying, it's a promise. If we died with him, we also live with him. I think it means if our faith is in Christ's death on the cross, we have been joined with him in his death. We're joined with him. We now live with Christ. We've died to ourselves, but if we do that, we endure, we live with Christ, we reign with Christ. Again, no pain, no gain, no cross, no crown. Have to run the race, have to do the hard stuff, face all the unpleasant, painful things in life, but if we endure, we reign with him. To endure is worth it. But the second half is a warning. If we won't endure, if we'd be ashamed of Jesus, if we deny Jesus, disown Jesus, then he will disown us. I think verse 13 is part of this warning. If we're faithless, doesn't change the fact that God is faithful, doesn't change the fact that he will work his good purposes out, that he'll be perfectly right in his salvation and in judgment. A person can be faithless and not endure, give up because it was hard, say Christianity is just a phase, but it doesn't stop God being God. Now, this is a trustworthy saying. This is a truth to live by. When you're a Christian, endure. Endure. Might be going through some very hard things right now on the family front. There is conflict, there's painful things happening within your family, or things going on at the work front, your health, maybe the health of a loved one, maybe mental health, the health of a family member, or you're just tired. You're tired of being a Christian, living the Christian life. It's hard. And maybe right now, God feels different, indifferent. God feels distant. But you wouldn't want to give up now, would you? God is not distant or indifferent. Christ came for us. And there's this wonderful promise, the prize, the reward, the crown is just around the corner. There is this deadly serious warning. Don't deny Christ. Don't give up. You know, what's the hardest thing you've ever done? Well, to belong to Christ, to receive salvation is free. It's grace, just to be received by faith. It's not earned. But a very real feature of the Christian life is you've got to endure, because the Christian life is hard. Along with possible persecution for being a Christian, there is a stuff of life, emotional, relational, financial, spiritual, physical, obstacles. We feel drained. We can feel tired. But the worst thing to do is to judge the value of Christianity by the state of your life right now. Don't judge the value of Christianity by how blessed you feel. No, what you and I need to do in the hard stuff is remember Christ. Go to the gospel. Remember Jesus who came for you. He loves you. And you've got to look ahead to realize the pain in this marathon race is worth it. For all those in Christ, there is salvation. There's a crown to be had. There's salvation for all those who'd come to faith in Christ. We're nearly at the end of January. How did that happen? But way back there in 2018, like every other year, a whole bunch of Christians died. Two Christians died who you might have heard of. One of them was Billy Graham, a Christian pastor and evangelist, came out to Australia a number of times. Billy Graham died 99, got to 99, always wanting people to be saved. That was his mission. That was his passion. Another Christian you might have heard of is Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson wrote The Message. Now, we looked at that translation last week. Very colourful, imaginative rewording of the text. But Eugene Peterson died last year, 85. Now, these are two Christians who got to the end. They did endure. They did not deny. Besides writing The Message, Eugene Peterson also wrote a book, Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That was the book, Long Obedience in the Same Direction. In the book, he spoke about going month after month, year after year, maybe decade after decade, in this path of obedience. Talked about long haul endurance. Long haul means sort of long distance, lifelong endurance. That's what we're called to. Endure in the midst of hard things. Starting the Christian life is one thing. You've got to bring it home too. And we'll face our fair share of hardships. Don't expect to be comfortable. We're called to suffer for the gospel. Suffer that others might be saved. But it's worth it. It's so worth it. There's a reward ahead, isn't there? Christ Jesus came to rescue us. It's his grace. He loves us. But let's look forward to the end, the reward and the reigning that we will enjoy with Jesus, our Saviour. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Christ Jesus, our Saviour and King, who died for us. And it is all your grace. We thank you so much that he died in our place and he rose again and he reigns. We praise Jesus for who he is. Our Father, we pray that you might work in us in knowing, in remembering Christ, but also in looking ahead that we might endure. Father, we bring to you those things that make life hard right now. the things in relationships, the thing in it, things in our personal health, the things going on in our mind, the things going on in our finances, the things going on in family and relationships. Father, perhaps even the persecutions we face for being a follower of Christ. But Father, work in us that we would look ahead and that we would know that endurance is worth it. And give us that strength. By your grace, give us that strength that we might endure, that we might look forward to the crown that you have for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.